بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, tonight we commenced with Surah Al-Hijr. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a few of the nations of the past that were destroyed, and particularly three nations that the Quraysh would pass by on their business journeys, on their travels towards Sham. So the three nations that have been mentioned in this particular surah in detail, one is that group after which the surah was named, Surah Al-Hijr. Al-Hijr was a town in the northern part of Hijaz, which was very close to Sham, to Syria. And this was the land of the Thamud, the people of Thamud, who Nabi Salih alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to. They were a very strong nation. Allah had blessed them with many bounties. And one of these bounties was that they were able to carve out their homes from the mountain, from the rocks. So great bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had favored upon them. So this surah is named after them. And this was one of the lands that the Quraysh would pass by on their travels. The second group that is mentioned is Ashabul Aika, the people of the forest or the thicket, who were the people of Nabi Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam. They also enjoyed bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They disobeyed Allah, didn't bring iman in their Nabi, and Allah destroyed this group also. And the third nation that is mentioned is the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, whose incident we had discussed the other night. So these are the three nations or the three towns that were destroyed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this particular surah. And the reason for this is that the Quraysh will pass by and travel past these lands, and they should take ibrah, take lesson, that these people once enjoyed the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were proud and arrogant. They rejected and belied their Nabi, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his punishment and destroyed them. So in the same way, the Quraysh, this is an eye-opener for them, that if you will reject Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Allah's adab and punishment will come to you as well. Allah commences this surah and the 14th juz by saying, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ, that soon a time will come when the disbelievers will wish that they were believers. They will wish that they had submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufassirin explain, one is on the day of Qiyamah, of course, they will have this desire, this wish, that if only we brought iman. But together with that, this verse is a sort of prophecy that soon in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a time will come when the disbelievers will wish that they accepted Islam in the earlier stages, when they will see Islam becoming dominant. They will see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now amassing a great number of followers. Then they will wish that they brought iman in the beginning, and they enjoyed their iman from the very beginning. So Allah mentions this, and then he says, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا, that, oh sahaba, leave them, leave the disbelievers to eat and enjoy themselves. These two words are mentioned, يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا, leave them to eat and enjoy themselves, and let their false hopes preoccupy them. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ, soon they will come to realize and come to know what was the reality, what was the truth. This concept we find mentioned throughout the Quran Sharif. The people of Iman are reminded that do not be deceived by the outer position or the external position and bounties that the disbelievers enjoy in this world. Outwardly, they seem to be merrymaking, enjoying themselves. Elsewhere, Allah mentions, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ, that the movements, the coming and going, the importing and exporting, and the large industries that the disbelievers enjoy and are in control of, don't let this deceive you. Don't let this make you think that they have made it and they have progressed and you are still sitting back. True progress is with regard to iman, with regard to taqwa, a'mal. So here Allah is saying, leave them to eat and enjoy themselves, and let their false hopes preoccupy them. Their hopes for lengthy lives and for large empires, let this preoccupy them. Soon they will come to realize the truth and the reality that Islam will become dominant. And when they see this, then they will be filled with regret and lament. So this is in the very beginning of the surah. And thereafter, after Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings Surah Al-Nahl. Surah Al-Nahl, Al-Nahl in Arabic refers to the bee, and this surah was named after the bee. This particular surah was revealed towards the latter part of the Meccan period, and Mufassirin have mentioned a very fine point with regard to the name of the surah. why was it named after the bee? So they mention this is a very great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But particularly when we look at the work and the effort that the bee puts in, a great amount of effort, a great distance that the bee travels. According to those in the field, they mention that the average bee travels for approximately 500 miles in its life. The small, tiny creature, insect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So a great deal of effort that it puts in. And finally, after all of that effort, the sweet and tasty honey is the fruits of this effort. So why was the surah named after the bee? And particularly at the end of the Meccan period, is that Sahaba radiallahu anhum also put in a great amount of effort, hard work. The early days of Islam were very difficult. A lot of persecution, suffering at the hands of the Quraysh. Just as the bee put in the hard yards, and eventually the fruits of its effort was the tasty honey. Here also the fruits of the efforts of Sahaba radiallahu anhum will be the Darul Islam and the abode of Islam, which will be established in Madina Munawwara. This will be like the honey that comes after these years of effort and hard work. So this was the reason that the surah was named after the bee. And Mufassirin mentioned another reason. Why does Allah speak about the bee particularly when there are many larger and more significant creations of His? Is that Allah wants to direct our attention to the fact that even in these tiny creations of Allah, you can see the wisdom and the qudra and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to the larger creations of Allah, then definitely, even more so, you will see the signs and the effects of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Later on, Allah speaks about the cow and the milk that He takes out from the cow. Allah says, مِن بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ, that the milk of the cow is extracted from a place where there is filth, where there is dirt, impurity, there is blood. All of this is within the cow, yet Allah extracts or brings forth from there pure, clean, tasty milk. So again, the wisdom behind this is that amidst all the persecution, the torment, the suffering at the hands of the Quraysh, Allah will bring about a favorable, a pleasant outcome for the Sahaba, and that will be when permission is granted for Hijrah, and Madina Munawwara is established as the Darul Islam. And then towards the last quarter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a verse, which Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu would say, is the most comprehensive verse in the Quran that deals with good and evil. And from the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who was one of the great rulers of Islam, from his era, which was not very long after the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, from then till now, this particular verse is recited in the Jumu'ah khutbah by almost every khatib throughout the Islamic lands. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Three commands Allah gives regarding righteousness, goodness, good deeds. Verily Allah commands the first with justice, بِالْعَدْلِ, with justice, with equity, with fairness. Islam is based on justice. We find on the day of Qiyamah also, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ. Allah says we will lay down the scales of justice. So the very first command issued in this verse is to be just, to be fair in all one's dealings. وَالْإِحْسَانِ. And then Allah commands with goodness. Al-Ihsan, Mufassirin say, refers to doing every action in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is to be just, to be fair, to carry out righteous deeds, and then to do it with the quality of ihsan, with that quality that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that is pleasing to Him. And the third command that is given, وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, that a person should give from that which Allah has blessed him with to his relatives in particular. In other words, the message here is that we should assist one another, help one another, especially our close relatives, family members, if they are going through difficulty, financial difficulty, or any other type of difficulty, then we should assist them, help them. The strength of Islam lies in unity, in togetherness, in assisting one another, caring for one another. So these are the three commands that are mentioned. Justice, goodness, worshipping Allah in a manner pleasing to Him, and to assist and to help one's relatives. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. And Allah prohibits you from three things. The first is al-fahsha, immorality, indecency. Indecency, they say, is such a sin or such an evil act that it strips a person of his moral compass. When a person engages in indecency and immodesty, then he completely forgets what is right. Leave alone practicing on what is right, But his entire compass is thrown off. إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ. In Arabic, the saying goes that when a person loses his natural modesty, or a woman loses her modesty, then a person can do as he pleases or do as she pleases. There's absolutely no limitations, no boundaries left in that person's life. So Allah prohibits you from immodesty. وَالْمُنْكَرْ. And He prohibits you from all those things that are regarded as evil. That which society looks down upon, and that which Sharia looks down upon. You should avoid these actions. And the third prohibition, وَالْبَغْيِ. Allah prohibits you from injustice, from oppression. You should not make zulm and transgress upon people, especially those who are your subordinates. So these are the three prohibitions: immodesty, indecency, all those things that are evil, and oppression. يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And to close off the verse, Allah says that He advises you with this so that you may take heed. In other words, if you will bring these three commandments into your life and you will make an effort to avoid these three prohibitions, this will be a means of your eyes opening, it will be a means of your iman becoming strong, and it will be a means of you gaining the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.